Okay, we're starting the new sugya on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. And this is going to be a long sugya, and a very important sugya. We've touched on it, and the central issue, as you see, is can a man be mekadesh a woman with money he previously lent her?
Didn't we do that already?
We touched on it. We just touched on it indirectly. We said, we learned from this rabbi that if you're Mekadosh with a milva, it's not a good Kiddushin. We just touched on it parenthetically, but it's not the primary sugya. Now this is the primary sugya. Okay, that's the issue we're going to deal with for a few days. Alright, so be ready for it. We're on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, 47a, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 15 lines from the bottom, as it's the first wide line on 47A. And we're going to have to take this slow because there's a lot of subtle changes that happen. You have to be very careful in the differences here. So we'll take it really slow. Amarav. Now this is the sugya we touched on, but now we're going to the main sugya. Amarav. Hamakadesh b'milva. If a man betroths a woman with a loan that's already been given to her, okay. Now, what is he exactly saying? So look at footnote 16. He says, become betrothed to me with the loan that I lent you already. Let's say he lent her money the day before. And now he says, I want to be mekadesh to you with what? With the money I already gave you. He doesn't give her money. We'll have to see exactly what is going on over here. Now, the way Rashi says, it says the man forgoes repayment of his loan. We'll have to see clearly what's going on over here, because there's going to be some subtle differences here. So if a man is mekadesher with money that he already had lent her, ain't a mekudeshes. It's not a good kiddushin. Now, the Gemara is going to tell us, what's the svara? What's wrong with the Kedushin? So now this, you have to listen carefully. Gemara said, Rav is saying, because milva, when you lend someone money, we have to understand, what does lending mean? He says it's lehotsa'a nitna. When you lend someone money, it's given to be spent. And we're going to see there's a machlokas in this. Okay? So, when I lend you $100, what are you supposed to do with that $100? Well, you can spend it, right? Now, what else is there? So, let's look at footnote 17, you'll see. He need not invest the money in such a way that it or its equivalent always remains in his possession ready to be repaid. In other words, sometimes, the guy, you might think, he doesn't hold this way. I think, okay, you borrow the money, but it's always got to be in a way that you can have it become liquid or liquefied immediately on demand. As opposed to, you can completely spend it, you don't even know how you're going to pay it back yet. All right? Since his rights over the money are unrestricted, that is the way it is, the borrower is considered to be the actual owner of the money he borrows. It is not somebody that has the right to use this money, it actually becomes his. It's interesting now. How do you look at, when I lend you $100, how do we look at you holding on to the $100? Do we say that you are still holding on to my money? Or do we say, no, it's totally been given to you, that $100 is absolutely yours. Now what happens is you pay me back another $100. A separate $100. You pay, in other words, did I give you the 100, and the 100 is yours, you can do whatever you want from it, and then, so what happened, what's the payback? The payback is, you know what, you're going to have to find another $100 of yours, and you're going to have to pay me back from a brand new $100 that is of yours. But when I gave you the 100, it became yours totally, it's no longer mine at all. Or you might say, no, the $100 I gave you, it's still my $100. And I'm letting you hold on to it. I'm letting you, buy something with it, but that thing has to be very easily been able to be turned over into money. And then I even own whatever you've turned that into. So is it that when I lend you the $100, I still own $100 of your investments or whatever, there's $100 somewhere of what you have that's mine. And then what you're doing is you're just giving it back to me. Or do we say, the $100 is totally yours, I have nothing to do with it, it's 100% yours, how are you going to pay me back? You have to find another $100 to pay me back. This is the philosophical, I'm going to call it philosophical, whatever you want to call it, two sides of the coin looking at a loan. How do you look at a loan? Okay? So, since his rights over the money are unrestricted, the borrower is considered to be the actual owner of the money he borrows. It is not simply has the right to use the money. It actually becomes his. This principle is expressed by the Gemara with the words, milva, these are clauses you should come to learn by heart. Milva lahotza nitna. Milva means a loan. Lahotza means to go out, to be spent. Nitna, they're given. They're given, a loan is given to a person for him to have it spent, to have it to go out. You don't have to hold on to it. Right? You know the famous muster of, guy says, you better, I'm lending you $1,000. Poor man says, lend me $1,000. He says, okay, I'm lending you $1,000. You make sure you pay me back at the end of the year. I want that money back. So a year later, the guy comes and says, you'll be so proud of me. I want you to know, here's your $1,000. You know how careful, let's make sure the money comes back. I took the $1,000, I put it in a safety deposit box the whole year. I didn't touch it. I don't want to make sure I can give it back to you. And therefore, here's the exact $1,000. So what's the guy going to say? You shite it. Why did I give you the $1,000? You just leave it in a safety deposit? I gave it for you to use.
Yeah, to benefit.
Right, so Bali Musser used this idea, for, if Hashem gave you a voice, a mouth, and said, oi, you can speak so much Lashon Hara with a voice, better not to talk at all. Because whatever I say will be Lashon Hara if you don't learn the laws, right? So the Chafetz Chaim said, Hashem's going to complain. He's going to say, I gave you a beautiful thing as a loan, but I didn't tell you to put it in a safety deposit box not to use your mouth. Just use your mouth for good things, right? So therefore, we'll get punished if we don't use our mouth for good things. So the same principle over here. What is the idea that I gave you the money? It's lehotzan, it's meant to be spent. And once you're spending it, it's not here anymore. On the basis of this principle, Rav rules that a man cannot betroth the money, a woman, with money he previously lent her. Even if the money she borrowed is still in her possession, she hasn't spent it yet, but since when he gave it to her, she's already able to spend it, and it's hers. That's the point.
Yeah.
The reason for this is it articulated below. The loaned money already belongs to her. And thus it can no longer be given to her later for Kedushin. Here's the point. If you say that a loan is given, it becomes the property of the borrower. It's his. You don't have to hold, it's not the owner's and you're just watching it for him in a different form. No, it's totally yours. It's been given to you. You have a debt now. You have a debt of $100. And you're gonna have to find a way to pay, but you don't gotta pay for that original $100 he gave you. That's out. That's gone. Now when you marry a woman, the only way you can marry her is you must give her something at the time of the betrothal. So now what did he give her? If he says, okay, I gave you a loan yesterday, today I want to get married to you, based on what? Based on the loan I gave you yesterday. Well, he already gave it to her yesterday. It's done and finished. It's hers. It's finished. I'll take another case. What if a man gave a woman a gift on Sunday? Gave her a gift, $100. Then Monday he says, you know what? I want to get married to you today based on the gift I gave you on Sunday. Well, you have to do something at the time of Kiddushin. You got to give her another gift now. You can't go back on an old gift. They have to come simultaneously. The kinyan, the acquisition of the woman is accomplished through. Can you imagine if a guy says, here, go to you, here, Sammy, here's $100 gift. Tomorrow, Sammy, you have nice things you sell in your house. I'd like to buy whatever, a chair, let you make a house sale. So I want to buy it for $100 with the money I gave you yesterday. So what do you talk about? You gave me a gift yesterday. What's this have to do with today? It's the same thing with marriage. You can't go to a woman and say, well, I gave you $100 yesterday. Now I want to get married to you with $100 I gave you, but you already gave it to her. If the loan is considered that it's meant to be spent, and it's totally hers, that means she has it already. As opposed, we'll say in a minute, if the loan is not given for that intent and purpose, then we can come to a different conclusion, which we'll see in a minute. Okay, so that's why Rav says you can't be makadosh a woman with the money that you gave her prior in form of a loan, because that money is hers already. Because why? Because she doesn't have to hold on to it. She can spend, even if she didn't spend it, and it's still right here. It says, here, see that money? It's sitting by you from yesterday. What are you with that? But you already gave her the money. It's hers. Now, look, important footnote. Very important footnote. Because there's other times you can marry a woman under certain circumstances, even though there's absolutely no exchange of money. There are cases of that. And look carefully here. It should be noted that even according to Rav, a way does exist to effect kedushin through a loan. There is a way, but you got to word it differently. Instead of betrothing the woman with the original money of the loan, to say the money I gave you yesterday should make the kedushin now, he can say like this though. The man can simply forgive the debt and betroth her with the benefits she receives from no longer having to repay him. Okay? In other words, there's two things that's happening with a loan, according to Rav. You gave her the money yesterday, that money is hers. You have to be an accountant here, right, Tony? What do you call it? Accounts receivable, what, how's it work? Credits and debits, ways, or assets, assets versus debits. You'll know the terms better. When he gives her the $100 as the loan, she has $100, it's an asset she has now, right? It is an asset, she's got $100, right? The other hand, she has a liability of $100. I hope I'm saying the terms right here. So this is what Rav is saying. You can't be Makadish a woman with an asset you gave her yesterday, but you can be Makadish her by foregoing the liability that she will have to pay you to pay for that thing.
Do you hear?
That's exactly what Rav is saying. Even though it's effectively, you know, could be the same. Well, could be or not. Because let's look at the first way. Okay, I'm going to be Makadish you with that $100 I gave you. Yes, I want to marry you with that. But has he washed away the liability?
No.
Will she still have to pay the guy $100 back? Yes. If he just says, I want to marry you with the $100 I gave you yesterday, I lent you yesterday. Yeah. Well, what'd you give her? You gave her a liability, didn't you? She's going to have to pay you back from her own cash $100. So he's saying, listen, I want to marry you with the $100 I gave you. So you gave it to me yesterday. You got to do something today now. You got to do something today now. I'm not giving you anything now. But I gave you yesterday.
No.
I gave you yesterday. Well, it's too late. I already have it. It already is an asset of mine from yesterday. If an accountant, forensic accountant can say, at what point, what was her monetary wealth yesterday? It was $100 more. And her liability was $100 more yesterday. Today you want to marry her with what? Well, with what I gave her yesterday. Well, that's too late. You have to give her something brand new now to marry her. So if he just wants to marry with what he gave her yesterday, doesn't help. But if he says, listen, yesterday, not only did I give you the money, but you incurred a $100 liability to me. So what I'm going to do is I will now wash away the liability. Now that, today, now, you don't have to pay me back that $100. Now he's giving her a tangible benefit because the liability of having to pay $100 has been taken care of. That's the same as giving a person $100. See for the fine difference. So Makadish B'milva that we're saying is no good, you want to marry with the money you gave her yesterday, the asset she has yesterday, should make the marriage happen today. That cannot happen. Okay. So what else? Rav maintains, last paragraph. Rav maintains, however, that kedushin can only take effect in this way. This was the second way. The way it just says to wash away the liability. Rav maintains, however, that kedushin can only take effect if the man explicitly informs her that he's betrothing her with the benefit that accrues to her from not having to repay. He has to be very specific what he means by saying, I want to marry you with yesterday's loan. That's not going to be good enough. If he does not actually tell her this, that is, if he merely says, become betrothed to me with the loan that I lent you, that's not a good language, because that's going to appear with the money I gave you yesterday. Kiddushin will not take effect, for we assume that the woman has in mind to become betrothed through the money that was lent to her yesterday, which is not good. Not through the benefit of the debts being forgiven. We got to get very clear, because it's going to be a long sugya. If we don't have the basic opinions clear, we're going to be lost. So that's Rav's opinion. Milva lahotza nitna. A milva is given to be spent. When I give you the loan, you own it. It's an asset. I like using that term. It makes it clear. It's an asset now. Now, what would be, we'll come to the other way in a minute. And therefore, if you want to be Makadosher with the asset I gave her yesterday, it's too late. If I say I'll forgo the liability, then she can get married. And that's the opinion of Rav. Gemara now says, well, that's very nice. Rav, remember, is an Amora. He's a latter rabbi. He lived in the times of the Amoraim. Gemara now makes a suggestion that Nema, in other words, they're going to say, Rav, you know, it's not so simple for you to say that, because Nema Kitanoi. Let's say that this point you said, Rav, is already a dispute of Tanoim earlier. Now, that's usually used as a challenge, as a question to a rabbi, because a latter rabbi gets up one fine day and says, you know, if you marry a woman with the money you gave her yesterday, debt, it's not a good condition. They say, oh, very fine, you discovered America, thank you, 500 years after Columbus did. Okay, so big deal. You know, we already have earlier rabbis that already disputed this issue. So what do we need Rav coming later on and weighing in on an issue that earlier rabbis have already discussed? That's a question. You can't get up. It's like, it's almost like plagiarism. Rabbis a couple hundred years before debated the very point. And you get up one day and say, you know what? If a man marries a woman with a milva, it's not a good way. Who are you, where are you coming from? Say it in the name of somebody. You want to say a law in the name of somebody? Fine. But you're going to make it up as your law? But we see it's an earlier issue. How do we know this? Because there's a Baraisa that says the following. Machlokes. It's a machlokes. The Baraisa says the following. Hamakadish b'milva, if a man marries a woman with the loan that he gave her yesterday, einu mekudeshes. The first opinion says it's not married. That's like Rav. But the same Bryson now adds a second opinion. V'yesh omrim, and there are those who say, mekudeshes, it is a marriage. Stop. That's what the Mishnah Bryson says. So Rav, how are you coming telling us an insight when it's old news? That's the question. What are you coming to tell us? Now, the Gemara assumes, now remember, Bryces and Mishnas are written very cryptically. They say very few words, and we're making assumptions over here. Well, what did the Bryces say? If you marry a woman with a loan, not married, yes, married. The Gemara assumes in its question, my love, aren't we going to say, this is what the debate focuses on? Demar Sover, because the first opinion of the Mishnah says, Milva lahotza nitna, a loan is given to be spent, it's given as an asset already to the person. Umar Sover, the other opinion says, you can marry her, what's their logic? They say, Milva lav lahotza nitna, must mean that a loan is not meant to be spent. Now we have to explain this position. Okay? Seemingly, the Tana holds Kedushin cannot be affected through a loan, maintains that a bar has rights to spend in any way he wishes, thus he is the owner of the loan. The other Tana, however, maintains that a borrower may not unconditionally spend the loan. Rather, he can only use the money for investment purposes, seeing to it that the principal or its replacement constantly remains in his possession. In other words, whatever you spent it with, let's say you took $100 to buy stock. Okay? And you bought $100 worth of stock. So now, tomorrow, the lender can say, I want my money back. He says, here, take the stock. There's something I can give you right away. It has to be available to be repaid. According to this other Tana, then the loaned money really remains the property of the lender. The borrower merely has the right to use it, according to this opinion, and thus the lender can later give it to the borrower for betrothal. So this opinion is going to learn that when you lend money to a person, doesn't go into his balance sheet as an asset. It goes into his balance sheet as nothing. It does not go onto his balance sheet. It's still, let's say you were the accountant for both guys, the lender and the borrower. So according to the first opinion that a loan is meant to be spent, we would say like this, on the day that the loan happened, the lender's balance sheet, the assets went down $100, accounts receivables went up $100, the other person who got the money, his assets went up $100, and his liabilities went up $100. That's according to the first opinion. According to this opinion, what he's saying is when a loan takes place, the lender, his assets are the same assets. Just here, $100 of assets happens to be sitting in a different address. And therefore, his assets are the same, accounts receivables are the same. It's just he's taking an asset and shifted it to sit in another domain. He has assets all over the world. He has worldwide assets. So guess what? Now, if you have, I don't know if you have to put on your account where the assets are sitting, where the money's sitting, but if you had to, instead of saying there's $100 in the bank, there's $100 at 452 Springgate. But the assets and the accounts receivable don't change. It's still his. And the other guy, the receiver, the lender, his assets have not gone up, and there isn't even a liability. It's not even a liability. It's somebody else's money is sitting in my house. So what did I gain? But the guy said, I can take that asset of $100 and turn it into a different asset. Let's say a stock that won't go down. You know, that can only go up, whatever. So notice he takes the $100, you've now bought a stock $100 worth. Now hopefully, in the time that I made the loan to you, I'll make $100 profit, and then I'll give you back your original $100. Why? By cashing in the loan or whatever getting, but I mean, I don't have to give you the exact $100 bills you gave me, but $100 of yours is in my, I can't, for example, take that $100 and go eat a $100 meal. Because then that's not what a loan is given for. That's not what a loan is given for. That's called charity. It's not a loan. A loan means, according to this opinion. So the machlokas, how do you define a loan? So if you define a loan now, that a loan means that the asset is still staying by the owner, and all you could do is shift the reality of the asset, but you can't erase the asset and shift it into your column, right? This opinion says loans are not meant to be spent, meant to be totally out. But the asset of the lender remains the asset of the lender. That means it's got to be always in the borrower's domain as something that's liquid, that can be tapped into quickly. Okay? And there's something else that represents that $100. Let's say about $100 worth of diamonds. On speculation, that'll go up in price. He's got $100 worth of diamonds. What is he hoping to do? I'll pay back in a year. Hopefully the price of diamonds will triple. I'll sell the diamonds. Immediately give $100 back. Now, but in truth, if the owner, for whatever reason, would want the money immediately, well, here's the diamonds. It's worth $100. And here's your $100. Because I couldn't have spent it out. Because it's not my asset. So now what happens is, when the man lends you the money, it's still his money. The lender's money. It's still his money. It's still his assets in your house. So now, if the man will now turn to the woman and say, you know that $100 I gave you is a loan? You can keep it. Now, what has he done at that point in time? He says, it's no longer my asset. It now becomes your asset. And although he didn't hand it over to her at the Kiddushin, but he effectively said, in the balance sheets, I just lost $100 worth of assets. And you've just gained $100 because now I am giving it to you, and now it's yours to do whatever you want with it. So you don't actually have to hand her something, but if the balance sheets change, no different than if I take $100 from my hand, which in my accounting books it says cash on hand, assets, $100, and I give her the $100, I got zero now on that balance sheet, and now she has $100 in her balance sheet. So even if I gave her a loan, according to this opinion yesterday, my asset still says $100 there, and she has zero. Once I say, keep it, now it becomes an asset of $100 to her, and now it's nothing to me, and I've effectively given her $100. So that's the machlokas. How do you look at a loan? Is the loan meant that it's yours now, and the asset is yours? So then you can't marry her with it because you gave her the asset yesterday. If you say the asset is not hers, now if you say I want to marry you with what I gave you yesterday, what is he saying now effectively? Now it's yours. So now you gave it to her. Now it's a good condition. That's the Gemara thinks would be the machlokas. Yeah.
I get the logic. This doesn't make sense because if you loan me $100 and it's still your money and I buy the diamonds, and effectively the diamonds are yours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if those diamonds drop in value, you still want $100.
Okay, so that's a question. We'd have to deal with that question. We'd have to deal with that question.
Now, that whole approach doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
He's saying it has to be something. It has to be something that can replace that. So you're saying, well, what happens if it goes down in value? So it's a question.
You still own that money.
Okay, I hear your question. I don't know an answer to it.
That's why I don't think it's that.
Well,
if you agree,
Gemara uses that as an opinion.
If you, know, then, you agree to that, then the rest of it makes sense. But I don't think it.
Or you got to say, you know, you got something else covering what potential loss.
So
you got something else. But one thing's for sure, you do not have any assets of $100. That's clear. That's mine. You know, let's think about this. What if I give you money, but now your money's worth less? What if all of a sudden I lent you $100 and then the Israeli government has devaluated the money?
You give them the value of whatever the devaluation is.
Well, who says? You gave me 100 liras. You gave me 100 liras in the days of the liras.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you back 100 liras. The fact that they devaluated it, I only owe you 100 liras.
By the way, this is not hypothetical. This is a real list.
You know, let's say better. Let's say in Israel, here's where it would be more of an issue. Let's say an Israeli lends an Israeli $100 U.S. cash.
Right.
And you got to pay me back in a year $100 U.S. cash. And at the time it was trading whatever at 4 to 1. Right? And now it's trading at 8 to 1. So that U.S. dollar's gone down in value 50%. Right? What do I have to give him back?
$100.
But effectively it's worth less.
No, that's not the point.
You give him back the U.S., right? So if at the time I bought, used $100, I bought a diamond, it was worth $100. So you got $100. So it's no worse than if your money went down. The asset I bought was your asset, and at the time it was $100. So your asset's gone down. Just no difference if the money would go down in value. You have no problems with the money, do you, Shelley?
No, because $1 is $1 all the time.
Well, no, not in Israel. $1 is not $1.
You're saying you're paying it back in shekels. I mean, same.
I bought diamonds, and I could get $100 for diamonds. Oh, the price of diamonds went down. The price of money went down. Okay, I'm saying it's a possible answer.
It's impossible.
So this is money that
It can't be. He took $100 and bought $20 worth of diamonds and says, now this is going to be a replacement. Obviously, the day he bought the $100 diamond, he could get $100 for it. And obviously, the guy's investing. He ain't investing to lose. So, but you know, so then, now it's very interesting. He's got to pay him back. How does he pay him back? Well, you know, okay, you had $100 of mine of diamonds. Now it's worth only $20. He obviously can't give him back the diamonds. He's gonna, I don't know. But anyway, that's the opinion. I hear the question. I hear your question. We'll have to put it on the table, on the side. Maybe, you know, one day we'll find out and answer it. But that's the way to Gemara. So where's the Gemara holding? Gemara has a question now. Rav, how could you tell me that if you marry a woman with the money you gave her yesterday as a loan, and you say it's not a good marriage. Why? Because a loan is meant to be spent and it's her asset already from yesterday. What are you telling us? It's an earlier machlokas tanoim. And it seems they're arguing the same point you made. So what are you teaching us? So let's answer the question. Okay, hear the question?
We established that a loan is given to be spent.
We haven't established it. Yes. Rav said so. Yeah, Rav said so. Yeah, but there's Amoraim who came before him who seemed to not be all agreeing with him. So that's why it's a question. You in the year, Rav was based in the year 400, okay? Your friend says, I say this. But the rabbis in the year 200 who had a debate about it. Who are you to come and say this is the law when previous rabbis already discussed it? So keep your mouth shut. If you want to say something, say, I say in the name of a great rabbi 200 years ago, this is the law. Okay, that you're allowed to do. But it said, Rav, listen, I'm telling you something, guys, that if you marry a woman with a loan, it's not going to be very small. You're telling me this? I knew this argument 200 years before. That's the question. Good? Got the question? Okay. Want to leave it at the question?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll leave it at the question. And tomorrow we're going to answer it. But this is what they're going to continue going back and forth asking questions on Rav's halacha here.